Scare Tactics, baby.
I never watched it.
You never watched Scare Tactics. Carl, you would love it.
And I don't like to see people get scared.
But it's prank
in that case
show.
You might not like it.
I don't like that. I'm recording now too though. But I don't like to watch people be scared of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. How do I get out of this?
I would have beat somebody up.
Shit was scary. I think they did sometimes fight. Like it got really heavy sometimes.
They had too many live animals on there.
Like, that's true.
I don't want to walk into a lab with a dead body on the table and a snake is crawling on it. I'm fighting somebody. If Howard Kramer walk out and he's the doctor,
who are you gonna fight? The snake? The dead body? What's
going on? No, it's probably Howard Kramer.
Yeah. That must have happened. I mean, he must have taken some punches on that show.
I almost got punched when I was doing what's his name? David Spade's show, Fameless.
What was that?
It was a prank show that was on True TV or the other one that's like True. Nah, it was on True TV.
Why was it called that?
Because it was like people. He would like pick up influencers who was down to like do like fake reality shows or be like a part of like fake reality shows. That basically like he would pick these people who were like, I'm desperate to be famous. And it was so many of them, and we do like three or four of them a day in the same location. And just film with these people for like an hour or so. And some people were like, this is fake. This is a prank show. This is fake. Other people would do the where they play into it and it would be annoying because they would be trying. They would know it was fake, but they were like, oh, I'm going to really play into it. And then other people, we would like get them for real. So it would always be like out of like five of them, it would always be like one that was like, okay, yeah, they can use this one on TV.
But someone tried to fight you?
Yeah. Somebody tried to hit me before.
Oh no, they don't want the paws.
Oh, they don't want these. They don't want the mitts. They don't want the mitts.
They don't want to see the paws.
I had to tell them. I was like, "Hey, this may be fake, but I'll real whoop your ass."
It stops being a prank when I fucking break out the paws.
Oh hell yeah,
Carl! Did you see we had our first NBA guest on Hollywood Handbook?
No, who was it?
Kenny.
Yeah, I saw that he did
the Cultural Kings.
I saw he did those, but I didn't know he did y'all show too. So there's two people that we should have had on this show.
See, yeah. And that's what I said to Kevin, but Kevin insisted that he does not work on this show in any way.
Yeah, we're at like a stalemate with that, where every time he books a guest that we think should be for this show, he brings it up again, like this trump card, like, oh, but I don't work on that show.
What does he want? Does he want Andy's job?
I think he wants Andy's job, and I think he is gunning for that number one spot.
Yeah.
We're trying to arrange some kind of job swap situation. It's not going well.
Speaking of your job, Andy, I don't think that Disney video you made was good.
You didn't like how I put the scary music on top?
It actually made Disney World look like a very scary place to go. I sort of wanted to go before I saw the video, and then you made me very scared to go. I didn't think the shot of the Slinky Dog roller coaster was appealing at all. It was empty.
Uh-huh. That's not a thing you...
I just didn't think... If there is, like, sort of blood on the streets of Disney, like, that's one thing. I didn't think there should be, like, a slow push in as, like, the music kind of, like, swells and then just becomes, like, a single discordant note. Like, I thought, like, let's just zoom by it and let's look at more of the people and rides.
Well,
but the fact that it was, like, blood and then it was, like, just, like, a finger.
I should have talked to you guys first, I guess. I don't know.
The VO also was obviously you.
Don't talk to me. I did not want you to. This is not. Never take away from my notes like that. I wanted to.
We're
talk
just
to
saying
you.
We didn't like it. The process was fine. I wouldn't change anything about the process. So,
the part where you did it and I didn't know shit about it, and then I just like had to watch some of it, and then I turned it off, and then I told you it sucks. All of that works.
So you don't want me to like give you a call like late at night before it's due to be like, is this good?
No, this is the call. This is our conversation about it. We're having it right now.
Do you guys ever read the accidents and incidents of theme parks? Just in the history of them?
I read there's a Wikipedia page that has a lot of them listed. Some of them are really scary. Is that just like a book about all the horrible accidents that have happened?
No, I'm talking about all the Wikipedias of like Disneyland and Six Flags Magic Mountain, Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I always knew the ones that happened like at the places in New England, like, because I remember some of them happening when I was there. Anytime you would go, like, it was like, well, you know, this is the roller coaster where the guy like lost his head because he like put it up in between the tracks sideways and then turned to look at the thing coming and then couldn't pull it back down because he caught his chin and got his head fucking taken off.
Yeah. Wow. Golly.
A lot of them are. So apparently if you just tug on the costume characters like back just a little bit, which of course like every little kid will want to do to get their attention, it's basically like the experience for them of being waterboarded. Like they all the oxygen like leaves their body and they're like seconds from death. And so of course, naturally what their body does, they don't even make this decision. What their body does is flail as hard as it can into the thing that is making this happen. And of course that like sends a kid like flying into the freaking lagoon.
I dressed as Scooby-Doo for like a thing one time, and it was so when I tell you that I was drenched in sweat like top to bottom, like I've never been sweatier in my life, couldn't really breathe, couldn't see anything below like this level. I could look straight down, but I still couldn't see my feet, and all little kids are running up to like grab you around your foot and around your leg, and the feet weirdly were like these huge kind of plaster molds that because they had to be like these big Scooby-Doo feet. Man, I was knocking kids on their ass. Like, and they also were fucking me up and made rules, but it was bad.
This was for a summer job?
Yeah. It was like, there's a place in Cheshire called like the Barker Animation Museum. It's like it's what it sounds like. It's a museum of like animation cells and stuff. And they
Scooby-Doo's something of a Barker himself.
No, I said that.
Is that
really?
Yes.
Do you think he feels like that all the time, the way that you felt just when you were living in his
Scooby-Doo
skin?
Feels really hot?
And like,
dude, well, I'm wondering what's in those Scooby snacks he and Shaggy were always eating. I mean, uh-oh. I got a feeling that that's they seem to have the munchies an awful lot in their
Shaggy eats them too. Shaggy likes them too.
Yeah, Shaggy wants the Scooby snacks as well.
Wow.
They would share them, and I'm wondering if maybe they had a little bit of Mother Earth's green herb.
Are we getting this?
Andy, are we getting all this?
Oh, yeah,
are we recording
it.
This right now?
Loud and clear. I mean, I don't believe
that. Okay, I guess we could just use it.
I don't believe what I'm hearing, but I have it recorded.
Yeah, so you can paste this in before. You're not listening to the fragrant ones. And I did say the fragrant ones. Do you who has a song?
None of us do.
We got.
I was writing a rap to my beat, and it's just taking me a really long time.
I still have to do that too. It's taking me a really long time.
I've got it like halfway done.
Wow!
I came up with 4 lines.
Andy, did you say we got a submission?
We have a few songs, but we got one that seems especially apt Blake for what we were talking about.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Walt Disney World Resort.
Okay.
I am your king, your gray king. Kindly fly all the way down and drag your bodies into the dead center of Orlando. Your cadaverous pallor betrays an aura of foreboding, almost as though you sense an imbecilic governor. Is this haunted season actually resuming? Or is it your imagination? And consider this dismaying observation. This virus has no treatment and no cure, which offers you this chilling challenge to find a way out. Of course, there's always my way. When the tip-off starts and you look around,
like the vultures gathering in the crowd,
coughing on your breakaway,
just one more snack for the new cafe.
People are bored to
start the NBA.
Now don't touch your mouth and just hold your breath,
or a simple sneeze may mean certain death.
TV deals have all been paid,
so Adam Silver's on his way, legally bound to start the NBA.
Be sure to bring your death certificate.
If the case is crime or the Sunshine State,
the tourist creeps to the opening gate.
You know we love your fiancé, but
you won't see her till Labor Day. World's on fire to start the NBA.
You hear the croon of an ambulance tune.
Look at God, cause we'll meet him soon.
New ones croaking every day.
Bubble up, it's time to play.
We're all gonna die.
So start the NBA.
We've been dying to have you.
I enjoyed that.
Oh my God.
That was amazing. The production on the song part was fucking incredible.
Don't make something that good for this show. Don't do it.
It makes us feel like shit.
It makes me feel so bad.
Nah, I'm
fuck.
But I will say, I usually am rhythm police, but it was slightly off rhythm, but it worked for the theme of the song. Like,
right, yeah.
It felt like Ghouls singing it. That was I liked it. That was
like
good.
A pre-recorded weird theme part.
Yeah.
Thing
yeah.
That, like, was just done in a day and then played 50 times a day for 100 years.
That was good. Incredible.
Let's give that king a kudos. Kudos, King.
Holy shit. Who was that?
Eric Richardson.
Eric Matthew Richardson.
Yes.
All right.
Three boys. That's what I'm calling him.
Yeah.
He's got three boys in his name.
That's cool.
Good job. Good job. Good job. Hit job.
Wow. Use that for something else. Sell it to. Like on a lot of sports
NBA
radio,
desktop. What about NBA desktop?
NBA desktop, great, amazing. Give it to NBA desktop. We'll put a good word in for you. Sports radio will do those like little parody songs sometimes, and one has stuck in my head for, I can tell you exactly how long, 19 years. It was a Brady Bunch. No, not Brady Bunch. What's those? Married with Children theme parody. And it went, Bledsoe and Brady, Bledsoe and Brady. It's enough to drive the head coach crazy. Belichick says, brother, if the Pats win, he'd even play his mother. I heard that one time as I was getting out of the car to go to school, and I have never forgotten an entire verse.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life.
That's amazing.
I will never forget it.
One that I don't, there aren't lyrics to it to remember, but I remember this DJ doing a huge buildup because Dave Matthews' band was like the biggest thing. He's like, we have the new Dave Matthews song.
Wow.
Like, no one else has it. We're releasing it here. We're debuting it here. And then what he played was just like some really shitty tinkly guitar and him going, peanut butter and jelly. Like, just go, peanut butter. Peanut butter sandwich. Sandwich.
Like, that's good.
Just saying peanut butter and jelly sandwich over and over. And I was like, this is funny. I heard it, I think at work, cleaning my high school locker room. And never stopped thinking about it.
There's a comedian named J. Anthony Brown who does a bunch of parody. He would be on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, which was a syndicated morning show on a R&B station. And he would do these things called J. Anthony Brown Murders the Hits. And he had so many. I think he still does them. I think they're like on YouTube and stuff. But he's like, they would be so funny. Me and my mom would just like every day that he was going to do one at the time. Like sometimes I would even be late for school waiting to hear J. Anthony Brown Murders a Hit. But also Ryan Seacrest used to do them on Kiss FM in the morning because we would listen to that too on the way to school. And I remember one that stuck out was the parody he did to Remix to Ignition, to R. Kelly's Remix to Ignition. But I can't remember how it went, but I remember it being very funny.
You can probably find that.
Yeah. It was around the time they came out. So it was like 2002. I was probably in like seventh grade, and it was really funny. Ryan Seacrest had some good ones.
Andy, do we have any great King news this week? And yeah. I am excited to play all my funny commercials. I have selected some commercials for Hayes's commercial corridor, and walk with me, won't you?
Were we supposed to pick sports commercials?
No, this is my.
Oh, your thing on that. Oh, okay.
Let me see. I'm gonna
I will share my screen and hopefully it'll work.
I forgot it.
Woj. Oh, yeah. The Woj thing we should talk about.
That was good.
Yeah. So that's a big one. Woj replies, fuck you, in a reply to a Missouri senator criticizing the league's relationship to China. Woj apologized, but then was suspended by ESPN without pay.
So the way that played out was even funnier than that, which is Woj and all reporters, whatever you report on, you get a million press releases for immediate release, and then like some bullshit from their press office. And he got one from Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri, that was going after the NBA, for the China stuff. I forget what it was like connected to events.
It was about like, you guys are so quick to put social messages and say like Black Lives Matter.
That's
why isn't
right.
there a jersey that says support the troops? Why isn't there a jersey that says like
back
free
the
China?
Blue?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what he responded to.
And he just responded to this press office press release. He just replied and said, fuck you. So it wasn't like a reply to it, even like a tweet where it's like nominally to Josh Hawley. It was just a reply to the press release. But it went back up the chain. And Josh Hawley snitched on him.
Yep. He posted it and was like, boy, don't criticize the NBA's position on China. They get awfully touchy. It's like, seems like you're touchy.
You're the touchy one, you dickhead. Man. Free Woj, man. Hashtag free Woj.
I can't believe, because Woj is such a big, like, dorky guy. Like, it's so funny that, like, just to see the whole NBA get behind this, like, free Woj thing, and for him to be this, like, symbol in this way was so funny watching it go down.
Not someone who you think of as having really like principles or thoughts of any kind. Like his whole purpose is to release information, literally
pure information,
before one other guy, who his former protege Shams, who is posting the same stuff. Yeah, exactly. Pure just information flow. And so this was very cool to find out about him.
Yes. I loved it.
Andy, this next piece of news.
Yeah, so the bubble has begun. We're getting tons and tons of info coming out of there. One thing that I thought was funny was that the NBA hired 3 DJs to play for all 3 different hotels that the players are staying at. And apparently no one showed up. Dwight Howard said he was the only one there at the big DJ party, so it was not a success.
I think that's very cool.
I can tell you.
Dwight was the only one there. All right, this is news to me. Oh, the Great King has broke something.
He went to all 3 DJs.
Yeah.
He probably had on like a silk shirt and some bootcut jeans and some business casual shoes. He was ready to go out. Why would they be in there? I mean, listen, we're all progressive here, but these dudes ain't showing up to no party with no girls at it.
I think what this might have been, I think it is possible that these parties were essentially a Dwight Howard trap. So they advertised.
We know exactly where Dwight Howard is going to be, and so we can all be somewhere else.
And no one is allowed to know about whatever was going on at the whatever location where he was not.
Imagine Dwight walking up to the DJ booth and he's spinning. He's spinning. Brand new Lamborghini, fucking cop car. And Dwight's like, hey, man, hey, where, has anybody else showed up? And the DJ's like, pulls off one of his headphones, like, what? has anybody else? This is my jam, by the way. Has anybody else come to the party? And he's like, nah, man, nobody showed up yet. Brandon Lamborghini like a cop car. It's a lonely like I'm a cop. It's my jam. All right, man. Well, I'm gonna grab a drink. You want anything? What?
Sorry.
Nah, man. I'm good. I'm good. I'm working. It's okay. He's got to pull down his mask to talk to him.
He stays. Dwight stays the whole night. This next one is good too. There's a lot of stuff about the food. Do you also have the pictures of the meal?
Yes.
Okay. Did anybody read the Patrick Patterson interview about being in the bubble? It was interesting.
You sent it to us, but I didn't read it. I should have. I hosted
it. It was good, but he talks about the food and everything too, but this picture is good to talk about.
Yes. There were a couple different pictures. One was sent by, God, I forget who it was now. But like more of a journeyman player that was like grapes, two different kinds of like one watermelon that was supposed to be part of a salad and like one that was just supposed to be eaten on its own, I guess. Cheese, crackers. It looked really bad, but that was just like the appetizer. This picture that we're looking at that Patrick Beverly posted was like the main course.
This is from Chris Chioza.
Oh, okay. So that is, I believe, the watermelon salad actually put together, but there's also a little cup of, it looks like, totally undressed
pasta.
Whole wheat penne noodles. A scoop of potato that has still maintained its complete form from the scooper.
Mm-hmm. It molded to the scooper and it is never going to change.
And a chicken breast that is
the driest of the meats, and
all
that one looks
gristle.
Even drier. That one looks like a dry sponge that you have on your sink.
It looks terrible.
And then I think he's got
one thing I saw.
He's got a bag of pretzels up there also, I think, for later.
Oh, yeah, off screen.
Shout out to
Roll Gold. One thing I
Zubox,
saw a
brother.
Lot of was that people were like, the presentation is a huge part of the problem.
It
that like
really is.
The little tiny containers for everything that are all like individual like styrofoam thingies. If you put, the argument I saw was that if you put this food like on a plate and just sort of presented it normally, that it would look like okay. Not a gourmet meal, but like whatever. But
yeah.
Something about it being on the tray makes it look truly horrendous.
The tray and in the styrofoam boxes, it really does look terrible. But Andy, explain this to me.
What?
This is like the Grand Floridian. It's like nice hotels. Disney hotels. They can't make, they make food. Is like the supply chain
right
cut
here.
Off or something?
Did y'all see the picture that they served the women?
No, what did they serve the
women? It looked like somebody took a to-go container of food and threw it up in the air and let it hit the ground and then scoop it back up into the bowl with the top of the bowl. It looked
that was WNBA.
So bad. And I was like, I refuse to believe that that's what they're serving these women. I refuse to believe that. There has to have been a... I understand that the conditions are probably worse for them. I do understand and respect that. I know that. But I refuse to believe they are serving them this food. Look at this bullshit.
So that's the one we just saw.
Yeah.
Here's WNBA. They serve this to Kayla Johnson. Oh.
Can you believe that?
No!
That is horrible.
What a mess. What is it?
It looks like steak and mashed potatoes with some zucchini and some mushrooms. But the mashed potatoes look so wet. Like
it's just all in a big pile.
I can't believe they had to have thrown that around.
Yes, it looks like it really got abused. That's terrible.
Oh, but then Kyle Kuzma got some nice looking sushi here.
But you know where that's from? That's from the Kang. That ain't from what they were serving the rest of the league.
No,
that's from LeBron James. It's hilarious to me.
That's from his personal chef or something?
Yeah, he got food sent for him. And he fed the Lakers. What they like so I'm loving that this is going to create a chip on everybody else's show.
Yeah. I think Isaiah Thomas saying that when the pictures of the food were going around, he's not there, he's not playing anymore. So he was just like, I know LeBron's not eating that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so what's about, yeah, this other thing.
Another food-related thing that happened was Richaun, is that how you pronounce that?
Richaun.
Richaun Holmes from the Kings got food delivered. And yeah. I think a lot of players didn't realize it, that they weren't allowed to do that. And now he has to quarantine for 10 days. And then meanwhile,
this
Kelly,
exchange is really good.
Kelly yes. Oubre Jr. was like, hey, he tagged at NBA. He said, to my at NBA bros, Postmates deliver to the hotel. You just have to go out there and meet the delivery person. And then when Shams reported that,
Says this is the whole thing is great. It says you just have to go out and meet the delivery person at the hotel entrance. Security will not hold the food for you or help you. Which means he called security and was like, can you just hold on to my food while I come? Just help me, please. Their job specifically to keep everyone away from the facility. Yeah, the food whack, but we here for a bigger purpose. Hope that helps. Hashtag shh. As he publicly tweets, adding the league.
At the NBA.
And yeah, then Shams Charania said, King Center Richaun Holmes crossed to the Disney campus line to pick up delivery food. Must quarantine for 10 days, 8 days remaining. And Kelly Oubre Jr. replied, never mind, lol.
That's funny. Have you guys been keeping up with Matisse Thybulle has a camera?
Yeah.
And his
I feel bad because I said that choosing the vote option for your jersey was corny, but he did do that. And so now I feel, because he's cool, and so I feel like I should apologize.
He can't even vote.
I think he's American. Am I wrong?
I thought he's French.
I think he's of like French origin, but I want to say that he's an American, maybe he was born there, but I think he's an American citizen now. I could be wrong about that. Okay. What is he doing on his cam?
Oh, it's some fun videos of just the Sixers traveling and Tobias trying to, you know, Tobias being the guy who's like, can we dap each other up? Can we please dap each other? Can we connect a little bit, y'all? Like we all on the same plane. We all on the same plane. If one of us got it, we all got it. Can we just, like,
that's nice. That's, yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. What is show the Patrick Beverley setup.
Yeah.
He shows up in the bubble.
I love this.
Immediately he thrives under just like he would like to just roll in garbage if he could.
Patrick Beverley is I'm not even saying this as a Clipper fan. Like, Patrick Beverley is just a straight up dude who came up the hard way.
Yeah.
He knows how to make lemonade out of lemons, man.
Yeah.
And any other player that's doing that, I admire it completely. Like,
but
it just so happens that I saw Patrick Beverley.
He thrives in adverse circumstances.
Absolutely.
Did we talk about Rondo's post?
No, but Patrick Beverley, his setup is he just spread out a blanket on the floor. Facing the window, facing like the Grand Floridian Lagoon or whatever, so he can sit on the floor and play
Xbox
computer
like
games.
Xbox, yeah, Xbox. But on a tiny little laptop.
Yeah. Oh, so it's an Xbox controller that he is connected to his laptop.
But yeah, maybe he's playing computer games and he's got a little.
By the way, Andy, I need to talk to you about that.
Who, me?
I need to talk to you. I need to see if I can connect my PlayStation 4 controller to my iMac to play X-Play.
You can.
Anyway,
I'll hook you up. I know how to do it.
I mean, yeah, he thought the laptop was an Xbox, so obviously he's an expert.
Oh, he
got it. Everything. Here we go, man. Here we go.
This my favorite part is the shirts.
Yeah. Yes!
Look at these shirts. He has a tower a tower of fresh
polo white tees.
T-shirts, polo tees. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, I can't even, there, I think that's not the only stack. I think there's another one to the left of it. He's got like,
maybe
80.
Not branded. They're like t-shirt.
No, they're polo.
T-shirt.
They're polo.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
So yeah, he's doing great.
80 white t-shirts.
Yeah.
Just stacked up. That's so cool.
He got his sage by the window.
In the interview with Patrick Patterson, they asked him how much clothing he brought, and he was like, well, you know, I need to have an outfit for every game. He's like, and then I need a second outfit, like a backup in case I don't like the one I brought. And then he said like something else for like other events too. And then he's like, and then I need like, you know, chill clothes to hang out in. He's like, and then, of course, if you play a game, like, you're not going to, there's no showers in the locker room, so you're not going to put on the same clothes that you wore in, so you'll also have clothes. So they were like, wait, so you have, like, two outfits for every day, like, full, like, new outfits? And he was like, yeah. And they're like, how many, like, items of clothing did you bring? He's like, probably about 200.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was another thing that Matisse Thybulle showed. Was his luggage that he was taking, and they're taking private planes, so the weight thing is not an issue, and the carry on stuff is not an issue. These guys had like Matisse Thybulle had I think 3 tall duffel bags, because imagine these dudes are 6'7" and up, they got like imagine Patrick Patterson who's what 6'10", like how many suits he's got to take, mm-hmm. like how much fabric that's it, and you know he's taking a million shoes.
It was he said
that doesn't even include his game shoes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And cool like casual wear to hang out in. So that was interesting. Rondo, just in contrast to Patrick Beverley, Rondo posted a picture of a pretty normal hotel room and just wrote like what's up NBA Motel 6. Like
it was not it wasn't like an amazing room, but it definitely nice. It was not like a Motel 6 at all.
It definitely wasn't a Motel 6. I did see the post that Network wrote where he was like, dear God, please let me be rich for so long. This hotel room looks shitty to me.
It's true. He, you know, I like, you compare him to someone like Patrick Beverley. I don't think he like, Rondo didn't like come up with a lot of money or anything, but has been in the league and been making money for so long now that like that level of room I'm sure is like way below what he is used to. Whereas Beverly had to like play in the D League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's this this Montrezl Harrell thing?
Oh, I didn't see this. I think Carl, I saw you posting about this, Carl, not necessarily about the Montrezl Harrell thing, but that there is a lady posting on Twitter that she said, I already got invited to the bubble. Yeah, the season definitely ending early. And so now everyone's trying to find out who it was. And somebody did post that
Montrez follows her.
Yeah, that they were like mutually following each other. But
But she also has a history with, I think, Lonzo. And like, listen, whoever invited her, because first of all, you don't invite the woman that talks. Like, she talking too much. What are you tweeting that for?
Yeah,
like you about to get everybody in trouble. So that
she's
not a pro.
Messing up the bag, but she and him are laughing right now. Actually, that was another.
She's also kind of indicating that she has coronavirus.
She's fumbling the bag right now for sure. Cause she's somebody like for real. Like y'all keep saying I'm going to fumble the bag. Me and him are laughing at shit right now. Reading other comments has me crying. Yeah. Okay. Whoever you're dealing with is probably some low-level player. Ain't no high-level players dealing with somebody who would get on here and tweet like this. I promise you.
Yeah.
And apparently she coming from out here. That's why you don't bring that type of work. Don't. Listen.
People accused Trez. Trez got on and said, I just woke up from a nap and everyone's accusing me of stuff. What's going on? And then he and I think Sindarius Thornwell had a really long exchange on there where people would go and go.
But you guys follow what was each happening? Other.
Yeah, well, Sindarius there was just like, I know it wasn't you, man. And he'd be like, thanks, I appreciate that. I know it wasn't me, too. And then somebody would be like, okay, but how do you know? Like, Because they follow each other, and he'd be like, no, I get it. And then they were posting, like, other articles about, like, Trez, whatever, flying women in or getting caught.
Yeah.
And Trez ain't flying an Instagram person in to, not into the bubble, but to, like, to a hotel or something, and her posting about it. I think she, like, posted, like, a tour of his room or something. And that... and then it was like, yeah, he's done that, but he didn't do it this time.
No. it gets done. Yeah. But it also, I think the how Sandarius knew that it wasn't him was because they all know who she is, probably. And it's probably somebody who's like I say, it's probably a lower level, younger player who's like, yo, what's good? You want to come over to the room? Like, she can't come into the second part anyway. But for her to get on there and tweet that, that's bad work right there. That's
I was a little surprised that they would like fly people from LA, just because I feel like Orlando is one of those cities where everyone like has somebody.
Yeah, because Orlando, but in Miami too.
Yeah, exactly. Orlando, famously the city where Glenn Davis ended up at that Travelodge. And you remember when he like destroyed the front desk at that Travelodge?
Carl? I do kind of remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, so, there was security footage of him destroying.
Remember that.
The rumor I heard, I mean, like the question you asked is at the time Glenn Davis was living in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he at a Travelodge, let alone screaming at the front desk person? The rumor I heard was it was a place where you would go. A what?
This was my rumor.
You told me this?
Yes, because I heard it because my sister and her husband live in Orlando, and he had heard it from someone who like knew the worked at the hotel.
I assumed that it was my rumor because I went to high school with his ex-wife. But go ahead. I didn't remember that I heard it from you.
There was like a code at that Travelodge where it's like you call the front desk and you say like some whatever secret word, and then they are supposed to send a girl to your room. And so he had gone expressly for that purpose, and I guess this is something he'd done multiple times, but whoever he got at the front desk either didn't know about this protocol or the password had changed or something happened where he was like sitting in the Travelodge calling up the front desk and doing the code and it wasn't working. And he got so mad that he ultimately smashed and destroyed the phone.
Not his own phone. The guy at the front desk. He went down to the front desk, reached over, and destroyed his phone. So if I can't have this, nobody can.
I feel like the dudes in the NBA are like, man, I ain't calling no Orlando girls in.
I feel like there's probably... Yeah, sure. There's also probably like a handful who serve multiple clients. And so now that everyone is there, like there are some people who are left out. Does that make sense?
But also, let's not immediately classify all these women as sex workers.
Sure.
No.
Some of them are just girls who are groupies, who hang around the NBA and who get a little money to make sure that they don't say nothing. Which is why I don't think this girl that was tweeting is really a part of the upper echelon crew.
Right.
Of women who have special privileges with these NBA players.
A big part of achieving that status would be that you don't talk about it ever.
Yeah. But people out here clout chasing. They got to say something. That's why people saying you fucked up the bag.
Because clout is delicious.
Look at it. See? And she was putting hot sauce all over that clout. Clout.
And I've been invited to the bubble, too.
Westbrook tested positive.
Yes.
That was sad to see that.
Yeah, that sucks.
Sad. And then I would not want to be coronavirus. In that immune system, no thank you.
No.
Everybody was saying that, oh, he was with James at the strip club. And I was like, man, shut up, man. Like, y'all don't know if they was together. And then a couple hours later, it was like, James Harden also tests positive. And I was like, oh, shit. They must have been somewhere together.
Wow.
The one that was the biggest, I don't see it in your notes here, mm-hmm. so I'm just going to say it, Andy. Mike Beasley, who hasn't played this season, mm-hmm. gets picked up by the Nets, who have been ravaged by the coronavirus.
Yes.
And it gets to the bubble, and on his first test, tests positive, and immediately has to go back home.
The most Michael Beasley thing to ever do.
Man, I felt so bad for him.
Be patient zero in the bubble.
Beasley is going bees.
Carl, have you done any work on our movie idea?
No. I forgot about it.
Okay, we got to get that set up.
Yeah.
We should make some phone calls this week about our movie.
What's the idea?
It's a sports movie about like the four players who get signed to the Nets and then lead them to the championship.
That's right.
The like out of the league.
One of them should get COVID in the movie and like try to hide it, but he's really sick.
He's just at the team buffet coughing. He goes to Dwight's club, Dwight's place, and he's just like dancing near Dwight. Dwight's like, man, you look kind of like, it ain't that hot in here. Why are you sweating so much? Huh? Oh, no, man, I'm good. I'm just having a good time. Brand new Lamborghini, fuck a cop car.
Here's a question for you. Would you want to, say you're like a journeyman NBA player, but everything else about your life is the same. Do you dread going to the bubble, or do you kind of want to go?
You want to go. You need the money.
Just for the money?
Yeah.
I think it would be kind of fun.
I think it looks really fun. Honestly.
It looks fun to be.
When I watch the teams that I'm watching practice, when I watch the Clippers practice and stuff like that, it looks like today they were listening to Here and Now by Luther Vandross, which is a ballad. And they were practicing the Here and Now by Luther Vandross. And do you want to play a little bit of that song, Andy, so you understand how slow it is? And I'm just like, man, these guys are having a good time. Because it feels like a big AAU tournament. It feels like when I used to go to Orlando, where they're actually playing right now. I played there. Like, it was so much fun. It was so much fun to be with the other teams. Except at those times, we could go out into downtown Disney and hang out at the clubs that were down there in the parties, the teen clubs and stuff like that, and talk to girls and stuff. They don't have that option, so it's kind of just them there.
But it's sleepaway camp.
I mean,
like it's like for grown-ups, like which is cool. I think the length of time that it is and like the pressure of it and the idea of like somebody possibly getting sick inside the bubble and all of that takes away from it. But the pure like environment itself is like probably at least initially fun.
Yeah, it looks like it. And it also probably, I mean, I don't know how well these guys have been quarantining. Like, if I can assume, which is not good, but if I can assume, I would assume these guys have close circles that they've been still kicking it with. I'm sure they haven't been doing anything crazy, but like they've definitely been seeing people. But this is probably like for people who've been quarantining, like following the rules and being good about it. This is probably like I would love to do a bubble right now with a bunch of homies.
Yes, exactly.
I would love to do that.
Seems fun.
We're not gonna. How many commercials do I get to do? Sweet Baby Haze commercial corridor.
Yeah, we don't have Haze plays. We could still do some.
Yeah, they're only 30 seconds.
Okay.
Wow, this episode is going by fast.
Do I have control?
Time flies when you're making a fun episode.
You should be able to share. There's like a green. Is there a green?
Okay,
button?
Let me make sure I don't have any nasty tabs open. I open it up and you see a tab that says like
Big Naturals.
Big Naturals, and she's porking it.
I was working in a writer's room once where a guy got asked to like take over. I'll never say who it was, but there was another writer in the room who basically was going to take over typing for the script revision we were doing and plugged his laptop into the monitor so that it projected on the screen for everyone to see. And he had left open a tab when he initially, like, I think we were started in the script and then we had to click over to the internet for something and he had a tab open that was the pornographic video that he had been watching the night before, I guess. And it was so funny. It was sort of...
Couldn't you see a search term?
Yes, yes, yes. And it was specific to a female trait. And it was
Sean revealing the search term is the last, like, you don't have to worry about that. It won't identify the person. You can say what the search term was. It's the best part of the story.
Well, you say what it was if you remember specifically, because I honestly
the search term that I remember specifically was big boobs.
I believe that's correct as what was the. And that was the search term at the top, and what had been discovered in the video being offered below.
It was a fruitful search.
It had.
He found what he's looking for.
He had.
That's good news.
A successful search. Yeah.
Okay, so the video that I am currently navigating, I've selected a few choice cuts from top 100 funniest commercials featuring NBA players from the NBA Fun YouTube channel. Some of these commercials were not funny at all. They were some of them were very bad. Some of them weren't even trying to be funny. But I've chosen some that are interesting for different reasons. And let's start with the first commercial.
My idol, how you doing?
Hey man, I'm getting ready to make a video game with Dr. J and Magic.
Yeah. What kind of video game, Chuck?
What's the name of this video game?
The old school.
This is a classic. You guys hear my screen?
When they're old.
Yeah.
Hey man, quit laughing. You're getting old too.
Hang up the phone, Barkley. I'm taking you to the hole.
I gotta call you back.
Who's in your fave five? My faves. Only from T-Mobile.
Classic. T-Mobile commercial. This was part of a series of commercials based on the premise that Dwayne Wade was one of Charles Barkley's five best friends. And with the T-Mobile Fave 5, you could basically choose, it was like a Spirit Airlines type model where you could choose five people who you could call without being punished, basically. And then anyone else would be a very expensive phone call for you.
I knew a guy who was in a Fave 5 commercial that was like the most popular commercial ever at the time, and we would sometimes hang out in New York, and he got recognized constantly from this commercial. Like, to give you an idea of the era that we were at, this was only in like 2006 or 2007, and he made a fortune, and it was like he was famous from a T-Mobile Fave 5 commercial. I'll tell you the commercial.
Yeah, which one was?
What is my girlfriend doing in your Fave 5?
Okay,
and he
goes,
oh, I don't know what that is. That's weird. Why is that like that? And then he takes the phone away, and then the screen lights up, and it is the picture of the girlfriend that the guy just showed, and the ringtone is Secret Lover.
Yeah!
It's great. On the guy holding the phone up with the screen, and then his hand just comes in and pinches the phone to take it away. And that wound up being a series of commercials later.
That mess was funny. Dude, I'm telling you, when I started doing improv, I started in 2009. And that was like 2 years out of high school for me. And I was a big TV watcher coming up. So when I saw all of y'all who I would see in commercials, I'd be like, dang, that's that dude from that commercial. That's the, it was crazy to me.
Chris Gethard was in a McDonald's commercial, and I was like, my improv teacher is famous. Like, he's famous.
Chris Gethard is in one of these commercials as well, you may remember. Ah. His commercial made it into this video. This series of Wade doing T-Mobile commercials is mostly notable for a later commercial, which we'll get to maybe in like four or five episodes, when he gives one of the worst line reads in performing history. You may remember the one where he is locked in, I believe, his bathroom in his hotel room, and he records a message saying, get me out of here, and it goes viral because people think that he wants to get out of Miami, and then his maid, that like the hotel housekeeper, releases him. But the line read is, do any of you remember this commercial?
I gotta see it.
Doesn't sound familiar.
He goes, get me out of here. It's really bad.
I gotta
see it. Next commercial.
I was raised in the small town of Pella, Iowa. In the heart of
the Midwest. Kyle Korver standing in a field.
Some people call it God's country. Where families always say grace. a place where you earn your keep by the sweat of your brow. A place where family are friends, and friends are family.
Get in pants.
It was here that I learned the lessons that would shape my career. Always catch what's thrown to you.
Driving a tractor. Arm wrestling, throwing hay.
My mom taught me, if you're not cheating a little bit, you're just not trying hard enough.
Drink something.
But of all the lessons learned, all the after-dinner talks, all the heart-to-hearts, the thing I remember most would have to be...
Dude, seriously?
You're out.
Got hit in the head.
Iowa moment.
Volleyball. By Darren Williams. No product disclosed.
What is that? What was that?
What? What?
It's clearly a local commercial. It
what
is insanely long. He does drink something that looks like maybe an energy drink at some point, which gives him, it's in a scene where he's arm wrestling, I think his brother, and it gives him the strength to beat his brother at arm wrestling. But then he's interrupted by Darren Williams. This must have been while he was playing in Utah when they were teammates. And he says, I was having an Iowa moment. And Darren Williams says, Iowa sucks.
Very funny.
AK-47 was on that team too, wasn't he?
I think so.
That was a good team. That team battled with the Warriors that those years.
Yeah.
The We Believe Warriors.
They beat them.
They beat the We Believe or the We Believe Warriors beat the Utah Jazz, who was a higher seed, wasn't it?
No, they took out the Warriors beat the Mavs.
Oh, okay.
So what you're thinking of is in game one of that series, they beat the Jazz, and that was the Baron Dunk game.
Yes,
which
yes,
was
yes,
on
yes,
AK-47.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they went on to lose that series. I remember a couple good ones, like the Mountain Time series, where the both like powder blue jerseys, Darren Williams' Jazz and Melo's Nuggets would face each other in the playoffs. I think maybe twice, but at least once. Yeah, those teams were great. Darren Williams was awesome. And it was
sad
for
a little while
when he got to be bad.
His tattoos. Oh.
Yeah, I like Darren Williams.
Had the worst tattoos in sports. Okay, here's the next commercial. This is a long one. It has some funny stuff in it. I'd never seen it before. Russell Westbrook Foot Locker commercial.
Yo, Russ Jordan gear.
It's February. Foot Locker's bringing the best of the best, like these new 31s.
You're bringing it too, putting up all those triple doubles.
For me?
Do you have a Westbrook impression, Carl? His voice is very funny.
I don't have one, but I can come up with one.
It's like very high pitched and like kind of raspy.
It's raspy, yeah.
Oh my gosh, speaking of impressions, wait until I tell y'all the VO audition I got today.
It's oh great. Let's do that.
I can't tell you on air, but I will tell you right on.
Oh
nice.
Oh, I'll tell you. To the listeners, I'll tell you.
Don't.
Putting up all those triple doubles.
For me, it's all about getting wins. But if you want to focus on the stats, you should know I crash into 1.7 cameramen per night.
The cameraman on a stretcher.
Well, I didn't know there was a stat for that.
And I've created 2 times more parental neglect than any other player.
Oh, buddy, this guy's amazing.
There's a dad watching video Russell Westbrook on his phone as his son gets in an elevator.
And I lead the league in minutes talking to myself intensely. Better show up tonight.
Oh, I show up. You just worry about yourself. You worry about yourself. You worry about yourself.
No, you worry about yourself.
That's
really good. It's him talking to his own reflection, but using effects. The reflection is talking back to him.
That's funny.
And my highlights kept Vine alive for an additional 7.4 months.
Westbrook just posterized another grown man in exactly 6 seconds.
And I'm a...
That was a clip from the Vine offices where they are removing the Vine logo from the wall. And then the guy runs in and says that Westbrook just made a dunk in under 6 seconds. And they put the logo back up because Vine gets to keep
going. Vine was saved by that
video.
And
I'm appearing in 72% of opposing coaches' nightmares.
See you tomorrow.
Plus, I'm the all-time greatest wrestler in league history.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Okay.
Bill Russell.
Second greatest wrestler in league history.
Thought so.
It's a good commercial. I had never seen it.
Have you seen
it? I've seen it. I know that one.
But I've seen that one, too. I'm sorry to break up Hayes' plays, but there's another commercial that is like that that I want you to see, Hayes.
Okay. It's another
It's another Foot Locker Rust commercial. And it's with the same guy.
Should I search for it?
Yeah, search for it. Russell Westbrook, Foot Locker.
There's a suggested video right there. No, top 25 funny.
Is it that one?
No, that's NBA 11 fun? Minutes. That's 11 minutes. It's probably in there, but type in Foot Locker, Russell Westbrook, Jalen Rose.
Okay. Type in with my left hand, sorry. It's not true.
I do everything with my left hand.
Not even true.
Same.
Everything. Russell Westbrook trolls Jalen Rose in new Foot Locker commercial. Is it that one?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love Hayes Plays is a very versatile segment.
Hold on, let's make sure this is the actual. Oh, this is the one of these fucking things. Turn
I
that shit
this.
Off. I hate
this. I hate it.
Oh no.
It's not the commercial. It's a fake news story about the commercial.
That can fuck you up.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
But do you guys remember Truth School? This was a series you may remember when you see it. So we see a sign outside. We're at the School of Truth. And we see a young...
Hey, Fashantel. I brought my uncle LeBron, who is NBA Rookie of the Year. Did you win the championship?
No.
Yeah, but you made the playoffs.
I just missed them.
Let's look at the froggy again.
That was a whole series where they just brought players on to just humiliate them. There's one with Melo too, where the kids don't respect the fact that LeBron didn't make the playoffs, and so they just want to look at a frog instead of talking to LeBron James,
the rookie of the year.
Okay, this will be my last one, but this one is a mega hit. So for this one, you have to remember that there was one play, not this one. This is the end of the previous one. There was a playoffs. I want to say like the 2008 playoffs, which the way they promoted them was they would have two players talking in unison, and there would be a line down the center of the screen so that one side of the screen was one player's face and the other side of the screen was the other. So it'd be like whatever, like KG and Kobe, and they would both be saying the same thing in unison. Do you remember this?
Kinda.
This is a spin on that commercial with Baron Davis and the Zohan.
All your life, you have a dream. A dream too.
Come on, Baron, let's go.
All your life, you have a dream.
No, my friend. It's pronounced a dream.
A dream?
No.
You have a dream?
No, you have a dream. No. You want to make the playoffs next year, you change your hair.
What now?
No, in the build. Are you a point guard or a point goat? I fix. Cut!
And they come back, and Baron Davis.
All your life, you have a dream.
That was good, right?
Has the Zohan's haircut and beard and shirt.
I remember that. I do remember that.
That was, I want to say that was 08, right? Because yeah, I definitely remember KG doing them. I think it was his first Celtics season.
Yeah.
This is part of like, this is always the thing with just the NBA, I feel like, where they do these movie tie-ins where they'll like... be like, the league is just like Jurassic World. There's predators and there's prey. And then they'll intercut game footage with shots of like the freaking Raptors.
The Indominus Rex.
I sent that link to the chat. That should be the commercial.
You found the commercial?
Yeah.
All right. Let's click the chat.
I'm Xing out. Stop share.
I'm hearing a very juicy rumor right now that I just got texted, by the way.
Ooh. Can you say what it is?
That the WGA agreement has been signed by one of the big four.
Wow. Which one?
And this is a rumor.
Yeah.
This is a rumor. The rumor is that it was UTA.
Yes! Oh. Yes!
Get it
you know what's really weird? Today I got a call that I assumed was a butt dial from my agent's husband. Isn't that strange?
We could obviously cut this part out, but
no. Okay.
The people need to hear this. I can share my. I think I fixed my audio. So
do it.
Okay, here we go.
Russ, hey, I just got the new Jordan 29 Lows from Foot Locker. Trying to be just like you.
Well, man, if you work hard, team, do your best.
Pause it. I just like how these all begin with like someone walking up and being like, Russ.
Hey, how he's just sitting out.
He's just sitting down. Okay, play it.
Well, man, if you work hard, continue to do your best.
Excuse me, can I interrupt? Kid, the odds of you becoming one of the best rebounding guards in the league and a four-time All-Star are not good.
From a physiological perspective, you'd have to have the same muscle mass, build, genes, diet.
Shooting mechanics, height, timing, fast twitch muscle fibers.
Do you think you have Russell's mitochondrial enzyme activity? I'm pretty sure you don't have Russell's mitochondrial enzyme activity.
And unless you share Russell's identical emotional makeup, there's no
Pause it.
Dr. Phil.
We have to catch everyone up on who has appeared in this commercial now. They are all on set, who we've now met to tell this kid that he will never make the NBA. Our first, Jalen Rose, former player and now commentator. Then Dr. Sanjay Gupta, I believe, from CNN. Then the guy who used to host that show, Sports Science.
Yeah.
Which I had totally forgot about, but for a minute was like a show.
I love that show. That show was so much fun.
It was great. It was really, really good. And then the last one was Dr. Phil. Continue.
Could match his intensity or his clutch factor.
Yeah, I didn't mean exactly like Russell.
Even if you did play like Russell, you would never have his same sense of style. That's
can't put Melissa Rivers.
And call it a chicken.
I tell him that all the time.
What does that even mean?
He means it ain't gonna happen.
I don't know who
that is. It's statistically
is.
Impossible. Do what I did. Just give up.
Don't listen to them, kid. Just be yourself. I was trying to be like Jalen.
Really?
No.
You know, Russell Westbrook's line reads are not great, but no, that no. shit had me Sometimes rolling every
yeah,
time.
Yeah. He got the job done.
Yeah. Really?
He did. No. He doesn't really pull off the no, but yeah. it works. It just it works fine.
Wait, have you guys seen the clip of Jalen and Kobe?
Yeah, we've watched it on the show.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, we've gone over. I can save. There's some really good ones. There's some really
good. Well, then we'll
really
we'll
good
next
ones
week,
and we'll save them.
These were great though.
And when we got a lot of juicy rumors in, and we talked about hashtag bubble life, and we just had a great episode.
We had some more had a lot fan of fun stuff that we can do next time too.
Which, I had fun too. Like.
And so we're actually ending the show, Andy. We're not doing
shut
it
up
anymore.
Time.
Yes,
in a nice way, with the most respect and with love, I say to you for yourself and for the show. Please.
Okay, I'm shutting up right now.
Okay. And then I'm gonna turn off my recording. Then Carl's gonna tell me what his voiceover audition was.
Bye.
Bye.